This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruchim Habaim to Kollel Agra de Pirka nationwide. I hope everyone's doing well. This is our last Monday shir before Chanukah, Haba Aleinu L'Toiva. So that will be the subject of today's shir, Chanukah, and a topic that relates to Chanukah as well as to our daily Avodas Hashem and our lives in general. We're going to discuss today probably the second most well-known question about Chanukah, aside from the question of the Beis Yosef, of why Chanukah is 8 days. There's another very famous question, which is most connected and attributed to the Pnei Yehoshua, Masechta Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. But this question is asked by Reb Shloima Kluger as well in the Chachma Shloima on Shulchan Aruch. And the original source of this question is Shalos HaTshuvos Chacham Tzvi. Namely, we know that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world in a certain way, that he allows the world to be disguised through a method called Teva. Even though certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the force of all phenomenon, nevertheless, Hashem prefers to allow the world to run Olam K'minhagai Noyheg. The Ribbono Shel Olam prefers to allow things to function in their regular nature and not to change nature unless there's a absolute necessity. So the Jewish people are running away from the Egyptians, and the Egyptians are on one side and the Yam is on the other side. So what could they do? They have no choice, but Hashem has no choice. He has to split the sea. However, in general, the Ribbono Shel Olam prefers to allow the world to run its regular course. Olam k'minhagai noyeg. He doesn't like to reveal himself, obviously. And therefore, miracles are only performed if they're absolutely necessary. So ask the Pnei Yehoshua. We know that when they searched for oil, they only found enough oil to last for one day and miraculously last for 8 days. Why did Hashem have to make that miracle that the oil lasts for 8 days? So just use Tamei oil. So you say, Tamei oil? You're not allowed to use Tamei oil. Yeah, you can. When the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei, we say Tuma is permitted when the majority of the Tzibor is Tamei. So you say, okay, it's permitted, but maybe it's better to do it B'tahara. Says the Pnei Yeshua, it would only be a hiddur to do it B'tahara if Tuma is Hudcha B'tzibor. Hudcha means that when the majority of the Tzibor is Tamei, the Isser of Tuma is pushed off. So if it's pushed off, it's still there, it's just pushed away, it's better to do a B'tahara. But we, says the Pnei Yeshua, hold Tuma Hutra B'tzibor. If Tuma is Hutra B'tzibor, then we should apply, we should have used Tamei oil. It's not even a hiddur to use Tahar oil. So why would the Ribbono Shel Olam have to make a miracle and allow the oil to last for 8 days when we have this principle, Tuma Hutra B'tzibor, and the Pnei Yeshua says, Afilu Hadure Loi Mahadrinan. It's not even a hiddur to use the oil B'tahara. Another question. So that's the question of Pnei Yehoshua, Reb Shloima Kluger and the Chachma Shloimai, and Shalos HaTshuvos Chacham Tzvi. Another very important diyuk. And I know this has been bothering you for a long time. You probably have not gotten sleep because of this discrepancy in the Psukim. In Parashas Tetzaveh, when it talks about the Karban Tamid that was brought upon the inauguration of the Mishkan, the Pasuk says, Es HaKeves HaAcha Ta'asa V'Aboiker. It says, Es HaKeves HaEchad. And in Parshas Pinchas, when it speaks about the daily bringing of the Karban Tamid, it says, Es HaKeves Echad Ta'asa V'Aboiker V'Yes HaKeves HaShini Ta'asa Bein Arboim. Why in Parshas Tetzaveh does it say, Es HaKeves HaEchad? And in Parshas Pinchas, it says, HaKeves Echad asks, none other than the Briskerov in Chidushe Maron HaGriz, Stencil. That is the second question. And Reb Shloima Kluger and Reb Yosef Engel, They both offer the following chiddush to answer the question of the Pnei Yehoshua, the Chacham Tzvi. This would also be an answer to Parshas Tetzaveh's discrepancy from Parshas Pinchas, and it would give us a new understanding in a few other areas of the Torah. In Parshas Shmini, when Nadav Avihu brought Esh Zara Asher Loit Siva Hashem, so a fire came down and it consumed their neshama and they passed away. Now their bodies are laying there dead in the Mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu calls Mishael, and Mishael drags them out, and Mishael takes them out. Asks Toisvus in the Das Akenemi, Ba'aliha Toisvus, what do we need Mishael for? Why didn't Elazar and Isamar just go in and carry out the bodies? That is the question of Toisvus. Says Toisvus, quoting the Sifri in the Taras Kohanim, you know why Elazar and Isamar didn't go in? Mikan Shein Koyhanim Etamin Lameisim. Because they're Koyhanim and they can't go in and be Metame to a mess. Of course they can't go in. They're Koyhanim. From here we see Koyhanim cannot be Metame. Frektoises, from here we see? From this story we see? There's a pasuk in Chumash. Lenefesh Leitamim Me'amav. Why do I need to learn from the fact that Elazar Nisamar didn't go in to be metame to Nadav Aviyu, that Koyhanim can't be metame? I don't need to learn it from a story. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. Furthermore, what do you mean they can't go in because they're Koyhanim? They're a Koyhan Hedyot. A Koyhan Hedyot is allowed to be metame to the seven closest relatives. Says Tosis, this is what the Sifri means. You know what it means? From here we see Koyhanim are now to be Metame Lameisim. Avada and Avada! We have a pasuk in Chumash, Koyhanim can't be Metame Lameisim. And Avada, Koyhanim are allowed to be Metame to the Sheva Kroivim. What the Torah's Koyhanim means, from here we see that on the day of the inauguration of Koyhanim, they have a din of a Koyhan Gadol and they're now to be Metame. That's what the Sifri means. Not that we learn from here Koyhanim are now to be Metame. From here we learn that on the day of their inauguration, the Koyhanim can't be Metame because this is a special day. This is their Chinuch. This is Yom Mashchasam. Furthermore, Tosfos quotes Arisha in the Bechar Shar, that on the pasuk Roshechem al Tifra'u, that Moshe tells them, do not let your hair grow long, that even though Koyhanim and Yoitim are not warned about letting their hair grow long for their seven relatives, however, on the day of their inauguration, it's different, and they cannot let their hair grow long. So from here we see a very important principle, that even though there may be certain leniencies that it's permitted to rely on. For instance, a Koyan is allowed to be Metame to the Shiva Kroivim. In fact, Koyhanim may be commanded to be Metame to the Shiva Kroivim. Nevertheless, on the day of their inauguration, the beginning, they have a special status, and therefore they can't rely on any leniencies. Let me show you another example of this. The Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael after wandering 40 years in the Midbar. They went in the day after Pesach, and they wanted to eat the new grain. But they couldn't eat the new grain because you're not allowed to eat the Chadash, the new grain, until you're makriv the Karban Omer. So the Gemara asks, what are you makriv the Karban Omer from? From Kitzir Artzachem, from the grain that grew in your land. The problem is, this grain did not grow in the land of the Jewish people because it was the land of the Canaanim. So this grain grew in someone else's land. So the Gemara asks in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Gimel, Meheichan Hakrivuhu, from where did the Jewish people, from where were they makriv the Karban Omer? Frekt the Ran, what do you mean from where were they makriv the Karban Omer? Maybe they were makriv the Karban Omer from the grain of the Eivar LaYarden of the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven. Because that's also considered Eretz Yisrael. I'll give you an example. You know, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Not to eat the fruits, but to be Mekayim Mitzvahis Hatluyos Ba'aretz. Asks Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what do you mean? Why didn't the Chazal say Moshe wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Says Rabbi Yaakov, and other Achronim say this as well. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Moshe was Mekayim already by living in the area of the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. So the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Moshe Rabbein already fulfilled. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to Mekayim mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz. So from here we see that the area of Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, Jordan, is considered Eretz Yisrael. So ask the Ran, what's the kasha? From where did Kal Yisrael get grain to Imakrev the Karban Oimer? They got it from maybe the area of Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven. Says the Ran, yes. In fact, grain that grows in the area of Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven is considered growing in Eretz Yisrael. But b'di'evet it's considered growing in Eretz Yisrael. And the first Karban Oimer that Kal Yisrael brought when they entered Eretz Yisrael, it's not mistaber that they relied on this leniency of utilizing grain that grew me'ever le'yardin. They probably did it in the most ideal fashion, and they used grain of Eretz Yisrael proper. So here again we see that the first time that something is performed, and it needs to be done right without any leniencies. That's why Elazar and Isamar did not want to be metame, could not be metame to Nadav Aviu, even though normally a kohen could be metame to a relative, because that was the day of their inauguration. That is why the Jewish people, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, would not be makriv the karban oimer from the grain that grew in Le'ever Le'yardin, because that is a b'di'eved. So we brought a few examples, namely Elazar Nisamar, the karban oimer, Rav Yosef Engel, one of the all-time great minds. Now they're republishing many of the works of Rabbi Yosef Engel. They published Al HaTorah, Oitzrois Yosef, and my friend in Muncie, Reb Hirsch Friedman, has a machon that is publishing many of the works of Rabbi Yosef Engel. He published the Oitzrois Yosef. He published Shev Denechamasa. He published Rabbi Yosef Engel Al HaTorah. He's working on a parish of Rabbi Yosef Engel on his famous tshuva on Shemitah and Asvan Dairaisa. If anybody wants to get involved in helping out with the Svarma of Rabbi Yosef Engel, you should contact him. He brings another raya, an amazing raya from a Rashi in Zvachim. The Rabbi Yosef Engel says, very interestingly, that the first carbon chatos that was ever brought was called the chatos of Nachshon. And therefore, all future carbonos are given that name. Why? So Rashi says as Svara, Iker chatos nakat. Shoyresh, look at number 7. Shoyresh hachatos, yihoysa chatos yochid rishoina. So again we see, Rabbi Yosef Engel explains, the reason why the first time something is performed, it has to be done on a higher level, is because the first time something is performed, it's the root of everything. Everything that comes later is based on the original act, is based and meyusad on the beginning. And therefore all chatois are called chatois nachshoin, because that was the first chatos ever brought. And again, we see that the beginning of something is considered the most important time and the root of everything. Likewise, a similar analogy, the Griz, the Brisker Rav, says we could draw and extend and extrapolate to the Karban Tamid. What's the halacha if on any given day they forgot to bring the Karban Tamid Shal Shachar? Can they bring the Karban Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim? Yes. It's not Ma'akev. It's not Ma'akev. The Karban Tamid Shal Shachar is not Ma'akev, the Karban Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. However, the first time the Karban Tamid is brought, you first have to be Ma'akev the Karban Tamid Shal Shachar, and then the Shal Bein Arbayim. If you weren't Ma'akev the Shal Shachar, then you cannot be makir of the Shel Bein Harbaim. The Gemara says in Menachos and Daf Nun, the Gemara says, Loi hikrivoi keves baboiker, loi akrivo bein Harbaim. If you weren't makir of the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar, don't be makir of the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Harbaim. But that is only, says Gemara Menachos, Bizman Shalei Nischanecha Mizbeach. That's only if the Mizbeach was not inaugurated. Avon Nischanecha Mizbeach. But if the Mizbeach was inaugurated, Yakrivu Ben Harbayim, you could offer it in the evening. So from here again, we see a similar concept that while on an ordinary day, you could be makriv the carbon tamidim any way you want. If you don't have the shachar, you could still be makriv the Ben Harbayim. But the first day, you have to make sure that it's done in the prescribed method and you cannot cut any corners and you cannot do it under any mitigating circumstances. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, in Archaim Simatav Reish Ayin Aleph, says Rav Yosef Engel, in Golyone HaShas, on Masechta Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amabez, on the Sugya Abameh Madlikin, granted, if the majority of the Jewish people are Tameh, they could have lit the menorah with Tameh oil. However, in the times of Chanukah, the Mizbeach was defiled. In fact, the reason why it's called Chanukah, the Marsha says, because they had a Chanukas HaMizbeach. The Mizbeach was defiled. And in the times of Chanukah, they were re-inaugurating the Mikdash. And therefore, the lighting of the menorah was sort of the very first lighting of the new Zman in the Beis HaMikdash. So while ordinarily they could have lit the menorah with Tamei oil, but not in the times of Chanukah, not when they were inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash. And when they were inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash, that was a beginning, and then the beginning is the root of all further services of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, they had to light the menorah, behidurai betahara. And even though Tumah Hotra betzibur, and even though regularly it's not even a hiddur to do a betahara, but the chinuch is different. The same way Allah Zeh Nisamr could not be metame on the yom of their chinuch. The same way when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, they could not bring the first carbon oimer from the grain of Eivor LeYarden. The same way all future karbanos chatos are called chatos nachshain, because the beginning is koivea, the whole future of something. So in the times of Chanukah, they cannot light with Tamei oil. By the way, I once heard from Rabbi Yisrael Weinfeld, Rav in Flatbush on Avenue L and East 22nd, that this could be a explanation for the Gemara says in Megillah that Rabbi Nechunya HaGadol lived a very long life, and Rabbi Akiva went over to him and he said, "Nu, Rabbi Nechunya, b'ma harach d'yamim, why do you live so long?" So they didn't know who Rabbi Akiva was. They thought he was some, you know, nudnik who's coming over to a big rabbi and saying, "Why you live so long?" So they wanted to smack Rabbi Akiva. So the policemen of the exilarch, they chased Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva ran up a date palm. And Rabbi Akiva wanted to show himself that he is not an Am Haaretz, that he's a Talmud Chacham. So he called down from the top of the tree, "If it says Keves, why does it say Echad?" I mean, is that really the best way that Rabbi Akiva could show he's a Talmud Chacham? What was Rabbi Akiva demonstrating with this question? If it says Keves, why does it say Echad? And Rabbi Weinfeld suggested Rabbi Akiva was asking and pointing out this ha'ara of the Beis of the Brisker Rav, of why in Tetzave it says Ha'echad, and in Pinchas it just says Echad. And that's how Rabbi Akiva showed himself as a Talmud Chacham. So bottom line is, Rabbi Yisai, we've given five examples of, in the beginning of something, you got to do it right, and you can't cut corners, and you can't try to look for leniences. Number one, the miracle of Chanukah. Why was Chanukah necessary? It was necessary because it was the beginning, and the beginnings have to be done b'tahara. Number two, why couldn't Elazar and Isamra be metame to Nadav Aviyu? Because it was the chinuch of their selves as koyhanim. Number three, why couldn't Klal Yisrael bring the carbon oimer from the produce of Eivor LeYarden? The reason is because that was the first inaugural offering of the carbon oimer, and it had to be done correctly. That is why, number four, Rabbi Yosef Engel says, all carbonos chatois are named after the first carbon chatos. And that is why the first time regarding the carbon tamid of the chinuch of the Mizbeach, it says, es hakeves Ha Echad. So this seems to be a very well-documented concept in Lamdus, that beginnings, chinuch, the start, has to be done in the proper way without relying on any leniencies. However, it comes with Tzvi Pesach Frank, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank sort of dismisses this concept, and he argues that there is no source that beginnings and chinuch have to be any better and not rely on kulas than any other time. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Mikroi Kodesh on Chanukah, page Yod Aleph. By the way, the Mikroi Kodesh was put together by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's son-in-law, Rav Yosef Kohen. Rav Yosef Kohen is the father of the current Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, Rav David Kohen. And I had this chus when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael to hear a shir from Rav Yosef Kohen, who, by the way, was on the Beis Din together with Rav Yashiv. And he brings a question that a gadol asked him, that why don't we bring karbanos bizman hazeh? So some say, oh, we don't bring karbanos bizman hazeh because we're all tamei mesim. So some say, what do you mean we're all tamei mesim? But tumah hotra betzibur. So we should bring karbanos. So this gadol said, tumah hotra betzibur. But if you're going to start bringing karbanos, that's the chinuch of the inauguration of the karbanos on the mizbeach. And you can't rely on Tumah Hotra Betzibur to be mechanech the mizbeach. That's what this gadol wanted to say. Meaning many challenge, we should start bringing karbanos bizman hazeh because Tumah Hotra Betzibur. So this gadol wanted to say that to bring karbanos, we'd be inaugurating the service of the mizbeach, and we cannot do that because you can't use Tumah Hotra Betzibur in the beginning. Says Tzvi Pesach Frank, this is incorrect. You are allowed to use Tumah Hotra Betzibur in beginnings. The entire shir of Agra de Pirka, the national shir at 11:40, the whole Yesoid is wrong. And not that it's a waste of time that you came. Definitely it was worthwhile that you were here for the first 20 minutes. He just dismisses everything we just learned today based on two sources. Number one, Tosfos and Masechta Tainis. What does Tosfos say in Masechta Tainis? The Gemara says that on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis in Tainis, that Kohanim Bizman Hazeh, there is an opinion, cannot drink wine because the Beis HaMikdash will be built any second. And if you're a Kohen, you might have to do the Avodah, and you won't be able to do the Avodah because you're drunk. You know, someone who's inebriated can't do the Avodah. That's what the Gemara brings in opinion. Kohen, do we have any Kohanim over here on the Zoom? Any Zoom Kohanim? Michael Cohen. Whoa, what a surprise. That's, by the way, that's a convenient last name to have if you're a Kohen. Ah, Rabbi Portowitz is a Kohen. So there's an opinion in the Gemara, we don't hold this way. But Rabbi Portowitz, you know, are you Choshesh for this Shita? Not that you never drink wine?
We learned that in Sanhedrin, that it's Mutter.
Right. Lemaisa, we hold your latter, but there is a Deya brought in Tainus that we don't drink wine, Kohanim don't drink wine, because Mehera Yibana HaMikdash. Ask Tosis, so what Mehera Yibana HaMikdash? Even if the Kohen, he's drunk, he wouldn't have been able to do the Avodah anyway. Why? Because he's Tamei Meis. Says Tosfos, nah, Tamei Meis, but Tumah Hotra Betzibur. So since Tumah Hotra Betzibur, Tumah would not have been an impediment. Therefore, Kohanim should not drink wine bizman hazeh, because if the basement was built, they would have been able to avoid it, and now they can't do the avoid it. Tumah would have precluded them? No, Tumah would not have been not have precluded them. Says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, Ribayna de Alma Kula. That means Tosfos holds, Tumah Hotra Betzibur would have been invoked, despite the fact that if we would have reinstated Karbanos, that would have been the chinuch of the Karbanos. So we see, not like everything we said today. Because the Gemara says, Kohanim shouldn't drink wine, because if they drink wine, they won't be able to bring Karbanos, but they couldn't bring anywhere, because they're Tomei. No, Tosfos says, Tumah Hotra Betzibur. So we see Tuma Hotra Betzibur would have applied even to Chinuch. So how could Rabbi Yosef Engel say that we needed the Chanukah miracle because we would not have relied on Tuma Hotra Betzibur? Tosfos would have relied on Tuma Hotra Betzibur. So why couldn't they rely on Tuma Hotra Betzibur in the times of Chanukah? In other words, how could we tell a Kohen, Bizman Hazeh, you're not to drink wine? He'll say, I'm allowed to drink wine because I can't do the Avodah anyway. No, Tosfos says he could have. Why? Tuma Hotra Betzibur. What do you mean? Rabbi Yosef Engel says, we don't apply Tuma Hotra Betzibur to Chinuch. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has just dismissed our whole shir. It's a problem. So I would answer as follows, very simply. Rabbi Yosef Engel doesn't mean you're not allowed to rely on leniencies the first time you do a mitzvah. You're allowed to. It's just better not to. Like the Ran says. The Ran says it's not mistaber that Klal Yisrael, the first time their makriv, the Karban Omer, would bring from the grain of Ever LeYarden. The Ran doesn't say it's osur. The Ran says it's not probable that they would rely on such a kula. So it's not that it's osur to. It could be Rabbi Yosef Engel is not saying it's osur to. It's just better not to. But you can, if you're with your back against the wall, you could rely on Tuma Hotra Betzibur. And since you could rely on it, we tell Kayhanim, listen Kayhanim, don't drink wine, because the Beis HaMikdash will be built any second. And the Beis HaMikdash is built any second, you could have been makriv karbanos, even though you're Tameh, because we would have no alternative, and we would have allowed you to be makriv betuma if not for the fact that you're drunk. Aye, but we see we use Tuma Hotra Betzibur. Yeah. You know, if you have no alternative, we use it. But it would still have been necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle, because it's always preferable to do it b'tahara. That's what I would have said to, let's say, defend Rabbi Shlomo Kluger and Rabbi Yosef Engel from Rabbi Tzvi Pesach's question. Rabbi Tzvi Pesach brings another question from a Tosfos in Parashas Shmini. Look at number 14. Tosfos says that the Sa'ir on the day that Nadav Avihu died, on the day they passed away, the Sa'ir was burnt. The Sa'ir was burnt. Why was this the Sa'ir burnt? Because it was Tameh. Ask Tosfos, okay, the Sa'ir was Tameh. But Tuma Hotra Betzibur. So why couldn't they be makriv the Sa'ir Betuma? Asks Rabbi Yosef Engel, what do you mean Tuma Hotra Betzibur? But we don't apply Tuma Hotra Betzibur to the first inaugural offering. And this was the very first Sa'ir of Rosh Chodesh ever. So how could Tosfos say Tuma Hotra Betzibur? So we see from here Tuma Hotra Betzibur, the leniency of Tuma Hotra Betzibur applies even the first time. Again, I would say, yes, we see it applies, but it's always better not to have to use it. But Tosfos still has a right to ask that why would they burn it? Since there's no alternative in that case, they should have been makriv it. Okay, so the bottom line is, there seems to be a machloikus about this concept. Rabbi Yosef Engel and Rabbi Shlomo Kluger say, the first time you do something, you never rely on leniencies, not even Tuma Hotra Betzibur, or at least it's better not to. Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank challenges this concept, but the subject that I want to just expand upon is this idea that the very first time you do something, you need to do it right, you can't rely on leniencies. So I want to share with you a Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah says, Elisha ben Avuya Omer. Elisha ben Avuya says, Haloi meid yeled lemahu doimeh, one who learns as a child. What is it similar to? L'diyayik suval niyar chadash, to ink written on new paper. The haloi meid zaken lemahu doimeh, son who learns as in his old age, what is he similar to? Ink written on erased paper. Ink written on fresh paper, it lasts. Ink written on old paper, it smudges. So the Samar Rebbe in the Divrei Yom Parshas Chayisara has a few amazing questions here. Number one, what is going on over here? Does anybody know how many times is Elisha ben Avuya cited in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah? The answer is never, except for here. We don't call him Elisha ben Avuya, we call him Acher. Elisha ben Avuya did certain averos, and he went off, and he had certain misgivings about Ikari Amuna, and he became, the Gemara says, an Api Kairas. And we don't say his name. We say Acher. Even when Reb Meir learned from him, Hashem wasn't happy at first. Hashem would not say over Torah from Reb Meir because he was learning from Acher until he was defended. He only took the inner shell and he threw away the klipa. So why are we quoting Elisha ben Avuya? Say Acher! Or the Sama Rebbe says, say nobody. Like Rebbe often codifies in Mishnayos, he just brings an opinion and he doesn't say who it's from. And furthermore, in Avos Reb Nosson, we have the exact same statement from Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. So we have many possibilities here. But none of them should be quoting Elisha ben Avuya. We never quote Elisha ben Avuya. Nowhere in Shas is his name mentioned. So either say, Haloi made Yeled without the Bala Memra, or quote Reb Elezer ben Yaakov like in Avos Reb Nosson, or say Acher Oimer. And the Sama Rebbe says an amazing approach. What did Elisha ben Avuya do wrong? The Gemara brings various critiques of Elisha ben Avuya. Either he had Sifrei Minim that he brought with him, or he sang Zemra Yevani. Different things that Elisha ben Avuya did wrong. Ultimately, he was Mechal al Shabbos, and he was a Koifer. But Tosfos in Chagiga famously brings that Reb Meir said pshat in the pasuk. It says toiv achres davar meirishisai. The end is better than the beginning. Pashat pshat, that means the end is better than the beginning. Finishing the mesechta is better than starting the mesechta. You know, sticking it out to the end of the shir is better than just starting the shir. It's better to finish something than just to start it. And when Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, heard that pshat, he told Reb Meir, no, that's not what Rabbi Akiva learned. Rabbi Akiva learned a different pshat in that pasuk based on a story that happened to me. And the story goes that, by the way, a little trivia question. Who is Elisha ben Avuya's father? Right? Trick question. Avuya. When Avuya made a bris for his kid, and he called all the Gedolei Yushalayim, and he put them in a special house, and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua were sitting and learning, and their learning was so intense, a fire came down in Hashamayim and surrounded them. And Avuya said, what's going on? You're trying to burn down the whole party? And they said, no, Chas Hashem, we became so immersed in our learning. Our learning became so joyous. Smeichim kinesinasan mi Sinai. So Avuya said, this is the Kayach of Torah. This is the Teferis of Torah. Halavai that my son should be a great Torah scholar like Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua. And because his aspirations for his son were Shaloi L'Shem Shamayim, that he didn't want to have a Talmud Chacham, Lasois Nachas Ruach L'Yotzroi, he didn't aspire to have a son who's a Talmud Chacham to bring honor to Hashem, but rather for his own Kavod. And therefore, since Avui Alisha, from his very beginning, from his origin, from his bris milah, the kavanos for him were shaloi l'shem shamayim. Therefore, there was like a root of poison in his origin, and it flourished to develop into what became known as Acher. And therefore, Acher says, Toiv achris davar merishisai. Something is only good in the end if it was good in the beginning. Something will only be good in the end if it was good in the beginning, but if there was some seed of poison, of improper motive, if there was a shaloi l'shem shamayim in the shoyresh, it will produce flowers of roish v'la'ana. In other words, Elisha ben Avuya not only taught that for something to develop properly, it has to be good in the beginning, but he literally was the living embodiment that something will only turn out good if it started off pure. And the Sama Rebbe asks, wait a second, what's wrong with what Avuya did? Avuya wanted to have a son who's a Talmud Chacham. Okay, so his motive wasn't pure. But la'olam yasek adam b'tayro v'mitzvah shaloi l'shma. Shemitayach shaloi l'shma b'l'shma. Halavai, every Jewish parent today should wish that their son be a Talmud Chacham so that fire could come down on them. K'nesinasa misinai. Halavai, we should learn and we should do mitzvahs. Rav Miller always would say, halavai, we're on such a madrega. One of my favorite stories is Harav HaTzadik, Rav Avigdor Miller, was once saying Berachas HaMazon, and after he finished, he turned to the guy next to him and he said to him, thank you for the Berachas HaMazon. So the guy said, what are you talking about? You said the Berachas HaMazon, not me. Rav Miller said, no, but thank you for being there because I benched better because you were watching me. So Rav Miller had the gadlus to admit that we serve Hashem, Shaloi L'Shem Shamayim. We all do it. We all know it. You have to be a gadol to recognize it. So what's wrong with what Avuya did? The answer is, says the Samar Rebbe, you're right. Learning Shaloi L'Shma is a very great level, but it's not L'Shma. And if it's not L'Shma, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, Torah is Megin U'Matzel. Torah protects from the Yetzer Hara. Only Torah L'Shma can offer such protection. Now, since this was the very origin of Elisha's life, for him to develop without being subject to the instigation of the Yetzer Hara, his father had to ensure that his aspiration for him was completely L'Shem Shamayim. And because it wasn't L'Shem Shamayim, he did not offer his son the protection of Torah L'Shma, and therefore Elisha was now subject to the Kitrugim and the Hasasa, the Yetzahara. The bottom line is, Elisha ben Avuya didn't just teach that you need to start things off pure for it to end off good. He was the living embodiment of this teaching. And therefore, says the Samar Rebbe, even though in throughout Shas, we won't dare say the name Elisha ben Avuya, because that's not a name that we say. But when it comes to this specific teaching, that in order for Torah to be preserved on the heart and the mind, on the soul of a Jew, you need to have started to learn young. In other words, the teaching of Toiv Achris Davar Mereishisai, it's not enough just to say it. It's not enough to quote Acher. We need to cite the living embodiment of this teaching, namely, Elisha ben Avuya Oimer, Haloi Meid Yeled Lamahu Doimer, because Elisha ben Avuya was the personification of this ideal. And therefore, the Samar Rebbe says, this is the one exception to the rule that we cite the name Elisha ben Avuya Omer. And this is what happened in the time of Chanukah. Chanukah was the inauguration of the Mizbeach. By the way, you know, we have this custom. The custom is, Minog Yisrael Torah, that we take these round items, and even though they're loaded with sugar and with oil, and they, chas v'shalom, pose sakonas nefashos to anyone who ingests them, but what can we do? Minog Yisrael Torah is we are moisar nefesh al kiddush Hashem to eat jelly donuts, despite all the health hazards they provide. But what, like all Jewish practices, we risk our lives to perform them. So my father taught me a very important rule about them. Ein lanu rishus l'hishtamesh bahem, ela l'roisam bovad. Okay, whether you like that rule or not, you know, I'll let you decide. By the way, what's the reason for the minhag of Shlomo Zalman? Says because on Chanukah, the Mizbeach was inaugurated. So since the Mizbeach was inaugurated, so if we would merely wash and bench, there's no tefillah for the establishment, for the rebuilding of the Mizbeach. But now that we eat jelly donuts, now we can make an ala michya, and we could daven, v'al mizbachecha, v'al hechalecha, we could be mispalo for the restoration of the mizbech. The Marsha says that's why it's called Chanukah, that they inaugurated the mizbech. So since Chanukah was inauguration, therefore we cannot rely on leniencies. Now I just want to share with you how this ideal is relevant to every day of our life. Every day we get up in the morning and we wash until Tehillat Yadayim. And the Rashba says, why do we wash until Sidayim in the morning? We're not eating bread. Because we're like Kohanim, who inaugurate their service of Hashem by the washing of their hands from the Kiyar. That means that if when we wake up in the morning, we're inaugurating our Avodas Hashem, we want to start off the day in the right way. Because we don't want to rely on any leniencies, we don't want to rely on any kulais, because whatever we do during the day will be latent in the beginning. And therefore the Shlach HaKadosh tells us that when a person gets out of bed in the morning, don't get involved in anything. Don't speak to anybody. When you get out of bed, don't say, hey, why'd you leave the window open last night? Don't talk to anybody. You wash your hands. Your first thought should be about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hashem, that you brought me back for another round. Thank you, Hashem, that I have a floor to stand on. I have four walls. Think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the beginning of the day will set the tone for the entire day. The Chida writes in Avodas HaKodesh, don't speak about any inyanim from the time you get up until your first words are Divrei Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until you're mispalel. The Sefer Or HaMeir, he brings that a person can sort of use as a barometer what their spiritual level is on by determining, what's my first thought in the morning? Is my first thought in the morning, oh no, that guy who I have tinus on, or how am I going to invest my assets? So if the first thing that pops into a person's mind is his business, so that is telling about a person's identity. However, one should train themselves that their first thought should be about Avodas Hashem. How am I going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu today? How am I going to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu today? And when one is able to develop that their first thoughts in the morning are the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidiyos, gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that also, that is a mark of identity of who a person is. I saw in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, he says the first thing you look at in the morning should be the mezuzah. You want to offer your first thought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your first words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your first glance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bnei Yisachar, in a number of his Sfarim, in the Agra de Pirka, not to be confused with the Shir Agra de Pirka, in Remez Reish Hei, as well as in Sefer Derech Pikudecha, he quotes a drush on the Pasuk, Kadesh li chal bechar, sanctify for me all your beginnings. One should sanctify all his beginnings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You wake up in the morning, the first thought should be, thank you, Hashem, I'm back here in this world. Not everybody wakes up in the morning. Thank you, Hashem, for another opportunity. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have clothing awaiting me. Thank you, Hashem, I remember how to get dressed in the morning. Some people don't remember how to do it. Thank you, Hashem, I remember how to get to shul. There are people, they get up and they get lost because they don't know where they're going. They don't remember where to go. The first thought, the first glance, the first activity, the first conversation, Kadesh li kol bechar, petar kol rechem, all ramach evarim, one should dedicate that the beginnings of Shabi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Reishis arisoiseichem chala tarimu seruma, the Bnei Yisachar says, to dedicate the very beginnings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, The Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Keser Rosh, he writes a skula. Okay, so for all you skula lovers out there, check out this one. He says this one is tried and tested. It's davar menusa. That when a person gets up in the morning and he's mekabel the yoke of Torah, genuinely, b'lev shalem, and he makes up in his mind, he's not going to pay attention to anything that pulls him away from Hashem. Then, min ha-shamayim, they will remove all impediments and he will be matzliach that day in Torah in accordance, commensurate with the power and the strength of one's Kabbalah, b'mekabel omach shamayim, as first thing in the morning. To that extent, one will be successful in his Torah v'avodah. It's all dependent on that original Kabbalah in the morning. And therefore, I heard of a beautiful Kabbalah one should make in the morning. I heard this from Pinchas Friedman, the Shvilei Pinchas. He told this to me personally, that if one is Mekabel, not to look at their phone in the morning, not message, not text, not email, not phone call, not WhatsApp, or whatever Farshidina modes of communication you use, not until after the tefillah, then it's a segula, you'll see good things on your phone. But the point is, you want to dedicate. Some people, maybe they have a medical emergency, speak to your personal Mora Derech. It's a very good practice to dedicate the very beginning of the day only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that way, Toiv Achris Davar Mei Rishisai, the rest of the day will be a day of Kedusha, a day of Torah, a day of Tahara. Many years ago, I think this goes back about 20 years ago, in Yeshiva Chafetz Chaim, by the Chanukah Chagiga, I heard a shmooze from Rav Erlinger, Rav Shiva, the Mary Yeshiva, son-in-law Rav Volba, something he heard from Rav Volba, that the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, when a kid knows how to speak, the father teaches Torah, Kriya Shema, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, and the Gemara says very harsh words if somebody does not capitalize on those moments. Then it's dangerous, and the Chazal speak very harshly, not capitalizing on the beginnings of a child's development. And I remember Rav Erlinger said from Rav Volba, the point of this Gemara is not to make somebody feel guilty if they didn't take advantage of it, but the Gemara is uncovering and revealing to us the great power of the beginning. That everything that will ultimately develop is latent in its haschala of toiv achris davmei reishisai. Haloi made yeled lamahu doime l'diyoi hakosva al niyar chadash. A person's origins will set the tone for the rest of their life. And of course, everyone has free choice. And there have been many very great people that maybe they didn't start off on the right foot and they became balei tshuva and tzaddikim. However, you want to give yourself the best opportunity, and you want to put yourself on the best track. And by starting things off in the right way, without relying on leniencies, that's why it's so important not to make any compromises in the chinuch of one's children and grandchildren, because that sets the tone for their whole life. That will determine the rest of their existence. And that's the limud of Chanukah. That Eina Chanami, Rabbi Yosef Engel says, we could have used tamei oil and Tumas Hutra Betzibor. But that was the Chanukah, that was the inauguration. And the beginnings have to be done in the proper way, in the proper mode, without relying on leniencies, without relying on kulos. And if we take advantage that our haschalos are b'kedusha v'tahara, and we're mekayim, kadesh li kol b'char, then we'll be zoicha, toiv achris davar mei reishisai. Okay, thank you everybody for listening. Appreciate everybody joining. If anybody wants to get, this shiur is written up in our humble sefer. It's called The Light and the Splendor, published by ArtScroll. It's available 20% off on the ArtScroll site. And thanks everybody for joining. Next Monday, Chanukah, Be'ezras Hashem. We will reconvene Monday, same time, 11:40. Bracha v'atzlacha. Have a good week. And a freilich and Chanukah. Shkoyach.
Thank you. So we're having shiur next week, right?
Yeah, if anybody wants to join, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5:30, Archas Chaim of the Rosh, 10-minute shiur. Also, this evening in Flatbush, B'nai Joseph at 8:30, there's a shiur on Inyanei Chanukah, if anybody is in Flatbush. Okay, everyone, Kol Tov, Brach
V'atzlacha. Thank you, Kol Tov.
Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.